guys over and all that, but it's just, I don't know. I thought, I mean, it was a show that had, like Impact, had a lot of holes and logic in it.
Yeah, I did.
But I did think that they kind of got, by the end of it, they got a little momentum going for Batista versus Jericho for the title.
Yep. Yeah.
With that same old rerun of, you know, Mr. McMahon is going to put all these obstacles in the way of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he's going to, you know, fight his way through to get what he wants. And it's another one of my pet peeves is when the champion makes himself a special referee and he wants to get rid of the other guy. Well, get rid of the other guy. Just disqualify him from the beginning of the match.
I know.
Just you're DQ'd. You don't even have to make up a reason. Or you can just go 1, 2, 3, my shoulders are never down, so what, I'm the ref.
Yeah.
You're out. So that stuff kind of.
Well, I think you really start entering dangerous territory when you give complete authority to a heel, or you say anything goes in a match, and the heel or the babyface don't take full advantage of that. I mean, when you truly have a no DQ match, which Jericho booked Michaels in against Cade, why did Jericho let it be one-on-one? I mean, is it no DQ but no interference? Like, if someone interferes, they're suspended, but the two wrestlers in the ring, they can use any means necessary. But if anyone interferes, they'll be suspended. I can live with that. But when
Cade was always shown to be a lot weaker than Triple H.
Right. Right. So there had to be an ulterior motive. There had to be a secret plan. And there really wasn't enough of anything that would show Jericho's master plan to take out Michaels. And I when you have an ODQ match and a heel makes it, you don't want to have that heel look stupid by putting a weak guy like Cade in against Michaels with really no advantage.
Right.
You're in charge of the show. Why not put Michael?
Well, and that also gets my other pet peeve of when they get somebody. I mean, Batista should be livid backstage. He should be furious that he's got no chance and they're going to take the thing away from him. And then, you know, then there was also the part of he's got to put up what he's already won, and he gets no advantage, and he gets nothing for putting it up and winning.
Yep.
He got the match anyway. It's just he should be back. You know, he should be out there doing his shtick, you know, shooting the guns. He should be furious. And you could turn that into, I'm going to tear this guy apart just for the temerity of being in the ring with me, trying to screw me like that. Or I'm going to take a punch at Jericho. Or, well, you know, I'm going to do something or another. But, they accept it because, I mean, there's that whole thing of you accept the authority. You know, even the good guys accept the evil authority because, you have to set the evil authority of the man who from all the slows.
Yeah.
So anyway, no. I did think it sort of worked on TV. It was like by the end of it, people see the crowd there seemed to be much more excited about Batista and Jericho than they were in the beginning. Which I'm not all excited about it. Well, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, why aren't you excited about it? I mean,
these are
two top stars. You love Jericho. Batista's clearly the top babyface on Raw.
He's one of the top babies. It's just, I don't know. I think I've seen it. I think it's not that great a match. And
I agree. I mean, I agree. It doesn't seem.
And it's not, you know, it's small heel defending against big baby face.
Yeah.
Which
that to me, I think is a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think ultimately that's the tough part. I mean, I hate to be saying, you know, Jericho's too small to be in the main events because that's not what I'm saying. But I do think that takes something away when you match him against somebody like Batista and Jericho isn't portrayed as either super sneaky or an amazing athlete who you know can overcome his size, which
he is portrayed as super sneaky. I mean
not to the degree I think you need to with him, because Jericho's not like JBL was, a SmackDown champion where it just was everything. But I agree. I mean, he obviously leans more that way than
one of the things that they booked him to be that they never talk about. That's another thing. That's like, to me, it's just incompetent. It's like that ladder match, which has had no resonance. And I was in the minority about that. I like that ladder match a lot less than I think most everybody.
Yeah.
But nobody's, like, really talking about that thing. But he lost the ladder match when HBK, when Shawn Michaels, headbutted him and, you know, made the offensive move and knocked himself off the ladder. And that's been Jericho's M.O., of winning matches he shouldn't have won based on the lucky break right at the last second that saves him.
Yeah.
And they never bring that up. They never talk about it. They never bring it up.
I mean, that's what I'm getting at. Like, let's establish that as his personality and had the announcers go, what luck will Jericho have against the dominant Batista, who clearly would
be really they should be like the fan at home should be really frustrated at it, but
yep.
they don't even pick up on it. So you're like, you know, you need to like be saying, you know, that jerk, and there he, you know, when he's bragging about how he beat everybody, it's like, you know, if it wasn't for you tripping Michaels into the corner of the announce table, he wouldn't have been injured. You know, and that was pure piss. I mean, it was just, yeah. you know, like, and that's all those matches that he's won like that. And he, you know, since he's gotten the title before he got the title, and they never, you know, it's like that theme.
Yeah, I
don't even pick up
what,
on it. And I think that stuff is like they need to tighten up their game.
I think a smart booking approach is, if something is obvious and everyone is thinking about it, acknowledge it and work around it. Like, acknowledge it and figure out a way to turn it to your advantage instead of ignoring it. And people look at Jericho, they don't see him as credible against Batista, and there's just not enough to his character. So how's he going to retain the title and frustrate Batista? We'll talk about it. I mean, really go all out and say, Jericho's been lucky.
Does
he find a way to drive everybody mad, including Batista, by winning a match he has no right to win, and set it up so you're getting people to pay to see Batista win the obvious match that he should be favored to win, or will Jericho? But yeah, you're right. They're underselling what it is that about his character. And what happens, I think, is then viewers look at him and go, are they trying to tell me he's a tough heel champion, and I'm supposed to believe that he's this badass heel champion? Because I don't. And I think when fans feel they're being deceived into trying to think something that's obviously not so, I don't think they buy into it as much as when what's obviously so is acknowledged, and they feel like, okay, now I see. You know, Jericho's sneaky. He's not a tough, dominant heel champion. And I just don't think they're on their game as far as deciding where to go with Jericho post-Michaels. And I think they got to figure that out if they're going to stick with him. Shifting gears, what do you think is going to happen with the Intercontinental title special opponent poll with Piper Goldust and Honky Tonk Man? Is a fix in, or do they have someone in mind?
The fix better not be in. They're charging people for that. They
I know.
get caught doing that. And there's no reason for them to do it. It's not a big enough deal.
Well, I thought Honky Tonk was on horrible terms.
Yeah, he may be, but I always assumed as soon as they started that honking meter that sooner or later you bring in Honky Tonk Man as a babyface challenger.
I know, but I thought that should be in a year and a half when they get to the date in question.
It'll never last that long.
Yeah.
But I
it
mean,
should.
It'd be cool if it did. It should. That's what they set up.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if it did. I just don't believe it'll last that long. But once they set it up. And, you know, I mean, they could have some fun with Santino Marella interacting with Goldust.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's not a match. But, you know, you have a short match in the ring.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Roddy Piper, you grit your teeth through that. But, I suspect people will want Honky Tonk Man. That's my guess, but I don't know. It's one of those things. Cyber Sunday, the gimmick is you let the fans vote, and there's really no harm in any of the three, or you know, there's no real harm in any of the three of them winning. If I were them, I'd sort of want Honky Tonk Man not to win, so that I could build that up for later on.
I know. That's how I feel. Special referee Randy Orton, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold. Is it obviously Michaels? Is it obviously Austin? I mean,
it should be if the angle had any resonance, I think that Jericho and Michaels is important beyond the fact that it's been so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important in the fact that it was out of the it's so well done, but it's out of the context of the rest of the show, and it hasn't worked the way that you would expect it to work, and it hasn't worked, I'm sure, the way they want to. And if Stone Cold Steve Austin comes in, and just because he's a name from the past that you haven't seen in a while, based on star power, he wins that. That mm-hmm. tells what kind of resonance it has that people would want. People don't really care if Shawn Michaels gives it to give him another chance for revenge.
Yeah,
and I completely think WWE thinks that Steve Austin will win that.
Yeah.
And that's where he'll be on the paper. He'll be another one of those meaningless Steve Austin appearances, once a year Steve Austin appearances, that don't really do a whole lot because he's, you know, he does his shtick and, you know, Stone Cold, the supporting player, just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then there's the mystery of why the greatest heights of all the wrestling business, why he's not more of a legend than he is right now. Wrestling.
Well, WWE has not done a good job protecting legends. I mean, you look at what they've done with Foley and what they've done with Austin most prominently. I mean, The Rock obviously is on a different level and a different level of control. But John Cena, surgery update. What was that all about? Were they a little worried about the ratings and we got to fit him on TV one way or another?
They put him on. I mean, they showed that whole thing on SmackDown again.
Well, yeah.
There was two of them. And, I mean, I assume they got, you know, he's coming back, and they gotta, you know, they gotta praise him for being Superman, and
that's
a shining light for everybody. To, you know, they need to get back as soon as they possibly can, and you know, they're wrestlers, so they should be able to do that with no problem. And there wasn't anything that we learned any.
All right, that concludes the 5-minute free clip of today's VIP audio show. If you're interested in having access to the complete audio shows that run between 10 minutes up to sometimes an hour, 15 minutes each, just click on the VIP sign-up info button in the upper left corner of the screen at pwtorch.com on any page, right under our logo. And you can get more details on all the features you get with the VIP membership, including around 50 VIP-exclusive audio shows per month, start to finish, along with a lot more ad-free access to the site, the PW Torch Today PDF bulletins that come out most days that I write with the breaking news and analysis, and so much more. Hundreds of back issues from the Torch newsletter, both in text and PDF format now, and a lot more. Just check out the whole list of VIP features. It costs $7.50 per month to become a member. It is cheaper if you subscribe for longer term. And we also have an availability of paper copy subscriptions to the Torch newsletter, where you can have it delivered to your doorstep, all 15 pages every week, with news, analysis, exclusive columns, interviews, and more. And with the newsletter subscription, it's about 75 cents more per week to get the newsletter delivered to your home, but you get all the other online VIP benefits along with that. So basically, it's just cost of postage and printing we pass along to you. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter to us either way which option you choose. But if you'd like to get that 16-page paper copy delivered to your door, you might want to check out that option. Otherwise, you can go with the eSub option, and I hope you'll maybe give us a try for 1 month and see what it's like to have access to the complete VIP audio shows every single day. All right, that's it for me. Until next time, on behalf of the entire Torch staff, I thank you for listening, and I sign off.